Romeo and Juliet, William Shakespeare. On the fourth day, to Dorothy's great joy, Oz sent for her, and when she entered the throne room he greeted her pleasantly. "Sit down, my dear. I think I have found a way to get you out of this country."
"And back to Kansas?" she asked eagerly.
"Well, I'm not sure about Kansas," said Oz, "for I haven't the faintest notion which way it lies." The Wizard of Oz, L. Frank Baum. I asked one draft of earlier, happier sights, ere fitly I could hope to play my part. Think first, fight afterwards, the soldier's art. One taste of the old time sets all to rights. Child Roland to the Dark Tower came. Robert Browning. Prologue. Blaine. "Ask me a riddle," Blaine invited. "Fuck you," Roland said. He did not raise his voice.
"What do you say?"
In its clear disbelief, the voice of Big Blaine had become very close to the voice of its unsuspected twin. "I said, fuck you," Roland said calmly. "But if that puzzles you, Blaine, I can make it clearer. No. The answer is no." There was no reply from Blaine for a long, long time, and when he did respond, it was not with words. Instead, the walls, floor, and ceiling began to lose their color and solidity again. In a space of 10 seconds, the Barony coach once more ceased to exist. They were now flying through the mountain range they had seen on the horizon. Iron gray peaks rushed toward them at suicidal speed, then fell away to disclose sterile valleys where gigantic beetles crawled about like landlocked turtles. Roland saw something that looked like a huge snake suddenly uncoil from the mouth of a cave. It seized one of the beetles and yanked it back into its lair. Roland had never in his life seen such animals or countryside, and the sight made his skin want to crawl right off his flesh. Blaine might have transported them to some other world. "Perhaps I should derail us here," Blaine said. His voice was meditative, but beneath it the gunslinger heard a deep, pulsing rage. "Perhaps you should," the gunslinger said indifferently. Eddie's face was frantic. He mouthed the words, "What are you doing?" Roland ignored him. He had his hands full with Blaine, and he knew perfectly well what he was doing.
"You are rude and arrogant," Blaine said. "These may seem like interesting traits to you, but they are not to me."
"Oh, I can be much ruder than I have been." Roland of Gilead unfolded his hands and got slowly to his feet. He stood on what appeared to be nothing, legs apart, his right hand on his hip, and his left on the sandalwood grip of his revolver. He stood as he had so many times before, in the dusty streets of 100 forgotten towns, in a score of rocky canyon killing zones, in unnumbered dark saloons with their smells of bitter beer and old fried meals. It was just another showdown in another empty street, that was all, and that was enough. It was Kef, Ka, and Ka-Tet. That the showdown always came was the central fact of his life, and the axle upon which his own Ka revolved. That the battle would be fought with words instead of bullets this time made no difference. It would be a battle to the death just the same. The stench of killing in the air was as clear and definite as the stench of exploded carrion in a swamp. Then the battle rage descended as it always did, and he was no longer really there to himself at all.